Almighty God has endowed our speaker with many outstanding talents, an awesome scholastic record, the many very important books he has written, 23 years of work for the Holy See, the over 600 priests he has trained, the multitude of students he has taught, the thousands of adult educational classes and catechetical instructions he has given, and the thousands of hours he has spent adoring our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. How has he used them? A steadily increasing army of Catholic volunteers, including many converts, so filled with fervor that they are now laboring in Christ's vineyard by using their talents, as did the early Christians, to nourish and spread the faith to others, is proof positive that he has used his talents to produce a hundredfold. The Truth Crusade, sponsored by Eternal Life, is privileged and honored to present this holy, humble, intellectual giant, a true, loyal, devoted son of his father in faith, St. Ignatius, a priest who really meant it when he took a vow of loyalty to the reigning Holy Father, a brilliant, shining example of a Jesuit worthy of the name.
Suppose we start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the prayer of St. Claude Colombier, whose feast we celebrate today. O God, what will you do to conquer the fearful hardness of our hearts? Lord, you must give us new hearts, tender hearts, sensitive hearts, to replace hearts that are made of marble and of bronze. You must give her your own heart, Jesus. Come, lovable heart of Jesus, place your heart deep in the center of our hearts, and enkindle in each heart a flame of love as strong, as great, as the sum of all the reasons that I have for loving you, my God. The holy heart of Jesus, dwell hidden in my heart, so that I may live only in you and only for you, so that in the end I may live with you eternally in heaven. Amen. The subject of our conference this evening is the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Eucharist. I would like to revise the title, Understanding the Eucharist, the Greatest Need in the Church Today. You might wonder how we can justify this superlative, the greatest need in the Church today. I believe we can justify that superlative on three grounds. On the grounds of devotion to the Sacred Heart. On the grounds of the Holy Eucharist. And other grounds of understanding. What are we saying? We are first saying that the center of the devotion to the Sacred Heart is the Holy Eucharist. The mystical body of Christ, which is the Church, is nourished, strengthened and vivified by the fountain of living waters which flow from the heart of Christ. Of course, the Eucharist, in the words of Pope Paul VI, the Eucharist is the outstanding gift of the heart of Jesus. At the sacrament of love, par excellence, the Eucharist possesses a primacy as the noblest of the sacraments. He may therefore say, devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus consists essentially in concentrating the Christian life on the Holy Eucharist. What are we further saying? We are saying that the most comprehensive mystery of our Catholic faith is the Holy Eucharist. To believe in the Holy Eucharist is to believe in every other revealed mystery of Christianity. And finally, we are saying that the most important duty we have in life as believing Catholics is to understand what we believe. Remember the parable that our Lord gave to his disciples about the sower who went out to sow his seed. It was all good seed, but it was not all good ground on which the seeds fell. And the first fruitless ground was the pathway. Christ explained what this means. The seeds falling on the pathway are those who receive the Word of God into their hearts, but fail to understand it. So what happens? Like the birds of the air that pick up the loose seed from the hard pathway, the devil steals the Word of God from the hearts of those who do not understand what God has revealed to them. Not to understand what we are supposed to believe is to invite the evil spirit to rob us of the faith we once possessed. So we return to our subject. Understanding the Eucharist, the greatest need in the Church today. My plan for this conference is to cover the following areas of an immense subject. First, the Catholic Church is undergoing the greatest crisis in her 2 millennia of existence. Secondly, it is essentially a crisis of faith. At the root of this crisis of faith is the mystery of the Holy Eucharist. Third, in order to benefit from this crisis, there must be a widespread growth in understanding the Holy Eucharist. And finally, this growth in understanding the Eucharist will open the greatest renaissance in the history of Christianity. But let's be sure we know that devotion to the Holy Eucharist is devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the Eucharist. We then begin by observing that we are now living in the most serious crisis in the 2 millennia of the Catholic Church's history. I hardly think there is a need to prove. It is enough to illustrate that the Catholic Church is going through the greatest crisis of her 2,000 years of ecclesiastical existence. We do not have the exact figures, but a fair estimate is that some 60,000 priests have left the active priesthood throughout the world since the close of the Second Vatican Council. Religious institutes, especially in the Western world, have secularized on a scale unprecedented in any previous century. homicide has been legalized in most of the countries of the world, especially the murder of the unborn. But instead of giving the strong witness to the sanctity of unborn human life by Catholics, many professed Catholics, dare I say, in high places, either openly defend abortions or cleverly disguise their homicidal intentions behind legal rhetoric or political jargon. When Pope Paul VI, in 1968, published Humanae Vitae, condemning contraception, the Catholic hierarchy of most of the world met in solemn session. But only about one half of the bishops of the Roman Catholic Church supported the Bishop of Rome in his teaching on the grave sinfulness of contraception. There should be no question in anyone's mind that the Church is undergoing the most serious, shall I add, devastating crisis of her history. The root of the crisis. It is not my business to have to prove that the root of this crisis in the Catholic Church is a crisis of faith. St. Paul defines faith as the evidence of things unseen and the foundation of everything we hope for. The Catholic Church is only as sound in any era of her history as the faith of those who call themselves Catholics is strong. There is a crisis of faith, and this is the root of the convulsion through which the Catholic Church is now going. But remember, the focus of our conference is on the Holy Eucharist, and it is a crisis of faith in the Holy Eucharist. As faith in the Eucharist goes, so goes the faith of the Catholic Church. Without dwelling at great length in proving that the root of this crisis in the Catholic Church is a crisis of faith in the Holy Eucharist, maybe just say two things. In the last analysis, a person is a Catholic because of what he or she believes with the mind. All the other virtues in our lives are only as firm, only as solid, as our faith is strong. The crisis in the Catholic Church, therefore, is at bottom a crisis of faith. Faith is the foundation of our hope. Only faithful people are hopeful people. Faithless people are hopeless people. Faith is the foundation of love. Only faithful people are loving people. Faithless people are loveless people. Well, then we are saying this crisis of faith is a crisis of faith in the Holy Eucharist. The Eucharist. How important this definite article is. The Eucharist is the mystery of our faith. We believe in any revealed truth. You name it. Only as intelligently, only as completely, only as clearly, only as firmly, only as constantly, and only as courageously as we believe in the Holy Eucharist. The test of our Catholic faith is the depth and degree of our faith in the Holy Eucharist. Faith in the Eucharist, therefore, is, and this is no cheap figure of speech, faith in the Eucharist is a barometer of our Catholic faith. It is the test of our Catholicism. It is the norm of our commitment to everything else which Jesus Christ has revealed. It is no wonder, then, that when, as described by St. John, Christ foretold the Holy Eucharist as his living body and blood, not just some of the bystanders, but many of his own disciples walked away. They said to themselves, "This is intolerable language. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, so far from retracting anything which he said, turned to his own apostles and asked them, "Do you also want to leave me?" To which Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." This been the verdict of the Church's history. Every major break, every single major break in Catholic unity has been over the meaning of and faith in the Holy Eucharist. No wonder in the year 1600, St. Robert Bellarmine, one of my own Jesuit confreres, on whom I wrote my doctoral thesis, wrote Bellarmine. He's writing, remember, in 1600. There are, he said, over 200 different Protestant interpretations of Christ's words. "This is my body. This is my blood." The Catholic Church is only as strong, she is only as united as her members believe that Jesus Christ is on earth, that Jesus Christ, with the fullness of his humanity, and therefore with his living, palpitating, Sacred Heart, is in our midst. We go on. Error
and evil in the providence of God. What a strange title. Error and evil in the providence of God. And whatever else we understand about God's providence, let's be sure we know that mysteriously indeed, but infallibly, error and evil are within the ambit of divine providence. There is no such thing as chance with God. God has a purpose in allowing error and evil. He must have, otherwise there wouldn't be error or evil. What is that purpose? God allows error in order that the truth may be more deeply and clearly understood. Let me repeat. God allows error in order that the truth may be more deeply and clearly understood. And we're living in an age, what a safe statement, when error is widespread. I wish I did not have to say this. Widespread in nominally Catholic circles, and his historic encyclical, Veritatis Splendor, our present Holy Father declares, the root of the widespread prevalence of evil in the world today is that so many people, instead of accepting the principles of morality which God Himself has revealed to the world, they have their own illusory preconceptions and presuppositions. God has a purpose, the purpose in allowing error, as we might more clearly, more deeply understand His revealed truth. Why does God allow evil? In my 46 years in the priesthood, I've struggled with so many people whose faith was tested to the breaking point because of the evil which either they have experienced in their own lives, or as in so many cases, they have been the victims of other people's malicious evil perpetrated against them. We better know why. God allows evil so that good, and hear it, even greater good will result, surely mysteriously. What word shall we use? Because of, occasioned by, as a result of the evil which had previously occurred, and that God, in His infinite power, draws not only good but even greater good from the evil which He allows. In the words of St. Paul, how this needs to be memorized. Where sin has abounded, their grace will even more abound. We need that. I need that. You need that. We are breathing sin in the very atmosphere in which we live. We better believe that grace will even more abound because of the ocean of sin in which we are living. What then are we saying? We are saying that the widespread breakdown of Eucharistic faith in once strong Catholic countries is God's way of telling us there must be, there is a massive, monumental need for a revival of faith in the Holy Eucharist. What are we saying? We are saying that when one diocese after another attends its Sunday Mass at an all-time low in our country, scores of parishes closing, adoration of the Holy Eucharist, not only in so many places not practiced, but dare I say it, not encouraged. Dear Lord, shall I say this too, by those who should be leading the people of God? I was twice called to Rome by the Holy Father's private secretary in 86 and in 87. Both my conferences with the Holy Father's secretary were to hear from him what the Holy Father wants in our beloved country. He wants a restoration of faith in Christ's real presence in the Holy Eucharist. And why? Because, quoting the secretary, quoting the Holy Father, the future survival of the Catholic Church in America depends on a restoration of faith in the Blessed Sacrament, faith in the real presence in the United States among those who profess to be believing Catholics.